We are passionately pumping.
Jamolo's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamolo, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
And so the countdown begins. Pompey's playoff campaign kicks off in just under 7 days' time. Oxford United make the short journey down to Fratton on Friday evening, July the 3rd, for a 5:30 kickoff. The four teams go face-to-face in the return leg just 3 days later. It's so close, we can almost taste it. Championship football is potentially just two wins away. Do you have any early score predictions for next week's game? How much added confidence do you have going into the playoffs following this week's contract news? And who do you think could be the unlikely hero for the Blues? Could Bryn Morris come in to surprise a few? We've reached episode 9 of this special edition programme. This is the Lockdown Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
First of all, I'm going to go to you, Sam. I always go to Liam Ryan first. Come to you, Sam. How are you doing, mate? It's been a very, very long time since we've seen you, since we've had you on the show. How's lockdown treating yourself?
Yeah, I've actually quite enjoyed it. Actually, it's been nice to spend some time with the family. We've been sunbathing a lot, but yeah, I'm just so excited that proper football has finally come back. I'm sick to tired of all these Premier League fans, you know, all the Premier League football. We've got some proper football coming back now, and yeah, thanks for having me on, and I can't wait to have a little chat about Pompey again.
It's our pleasure as always, Liam Howes, master of the controls, the tech, the audio.
Good to be here, mate. Another episode 9, boys. Where is the time gone? Honestly, I'm getting bored of seeing you now. I was missing you at first, but
9 weeks ago, I sat in my shed with a bald head, and you two were
and a can of Carlsberg.
Can of Carlsberg. My mother interrupted me halfway through. Yeah, that seemed like a world away. But it's been a long time, Ryan, and that goes to show just how long it has been, 9 weeks since we started this. And now we're 1 week away from Pompey being back in action. And over the last 14 days or so since we really found out that news, I don't know about you, but it's gone pretty quickly.
Yeah, we waited for so long for the authorities to make a decision on how this season would play out, especially when other football leagues were making their choices. And then, yeah, as you say, in the last 2 weeks, it's gone from we might be playing in playoffs to all of a sudden we are, right, where's Burgess going? Where's Raggett going? Can we keep McCrory for a game? Can we keep Seddon? Yeah, it's raced by the last 14 days. And I think now that pretty much everything is set in stone, i.e. we have no more players to worry about, it's now just making sure the players are as prepared as they can be for such an occasion. The next 7 days could conceivably drag a little because I don't see where else the news would come from now. So it's literally just waiting for next Friday now.
Yeah. Pompey have been in a few friendly action, you know, a few friendly games, Sam, Brentford and Reading. And obviously we don't know what's happened. We know the score lines. We defeat at the Majestic Stadium, a draw at Griffin Park against Brentford. But testing ourselves against Championship sides, hopefully looking forward to next season where we should be playing our football next campaign. And it is a good test ahead of these playoffs to be playing decent quality sides.
Yeah, it is. And it seems like we've done well to get the friendlies. I mean, there's, from what I've seen in the news, it's been quite tough to get Championship sides to play against you considering they've already restarted their season. So we've done well to get those friendlies and it's a good result against Brentford. They played a few players that was on their subs bench from the win against Fulham the weekend before. So, and we know Brentford are a forward-thinking club. They're a very good side. So, and we looked like we kind of rotated the 11 each half. So a 1-1 draw there isn't a bad result at all. But yeah, as you said, it's going to be good to kind of get that, well, get back playing again. There's so many variables in these playoffs and I can't call them. So getting as much match sharpness back as possible can only help in the long run, but they're not being fans, you know, how players are going to react, lack of form. There's so many variables. It's even more of a lottery than the playoffs usually are. So I can't call it, but the fact we've been in playing friendlies is only a good thing.
at a huge lottery that Pompey faced earlier in the weekly and was tying down Christian Burgess and Sean Raggett to contract extensions. Now, Sean Raggett, as you know, on loan from Norwich City, that loan doesn't cover through to July, but he's now been released by the Premier League club, so is technically out of work. He's happy to play on. He signed that contract extension. And the more notable one, Christian Burgess, who, as we're hearing, will be playing in Belgium next season. He will be leaving Pompey, but he's been given permission by his new club to play in these playoffs. So a bit of bad news, a bit of gutting news regarding the Christian Burgess situation. But thinking about right here, right now, fantastic news that he will be involved in playoffs.
Yeah, and I think we said last week, didn't we, you know, people were speculating that the club have an offer him a contract, which turned out to be nonsense by the looks of it. It is gutting that he won't be here next season, but fair play to him for extending, you know, that. I mean, fair play to his new club for agreeing it and Pompey for getting it done, because, you know, we do need him for the playoffs, because, you know, we need a bit of experience. We need a player like Christian. And Raggett as well, you know, he's come so far this season, it would have been a shame for him not to be playing to potentially cannon us into the Championship. but... Well, sorry, I just thought I'd use that pun. But yeah, it's a little bit sad that Christian's leaving, but, you know.
9 hours and 10 minutes you went without making some kind of terrible dad joke or pun. And you've done it. You've caved in and you've done it. I don't think we can continue from here, Liam. Sorry.
I mean, now that the floodgates have opened, this show is just going to go right in the tank when it comes to wordplay now. I thought we were trying to be a little bit sensible with it, but Liam just opened Pandora's box there.
Speaking of wordplay, Ryan, I'd love it if you could pronounce Christian Burgess's new club.
Union Saint-Gilloise. And I have this may be a completely bunk theory, but I have potentially just a minor theory as why he's moved there.
Love to hear it. Go on.
As everyone knows, certainly if you follow him on Twitter, he's quite the political activist as well. He's heavily involved in that sort of thing. For those who don't know, obviously this will be Burgess's last major contract, which was a sticking point for us. He's 28. He's got a four-year deal. That takes him into his 30s. After that, you're starting to look at a career after football, a life after football. Union Saint-Gilloise play in this town called Brussels. Brussels being home to a major European political hub, and Burgess was very active on the EU front. I may be totally wrong, but I think there's something to the fact that he has moved to a place where he could also start up his life after football, certainly learning the nuances of European politics. So I think that may have had something to do with it. I could be wrong, but it seems very convenient if it isn't.
I think, as Ryan said there, Sam, if ever you wanted proof that it's not just as clear-cut as a club offering contract and the player saying yes or no, Christian Burgess and his situation has got to think about his future career goals and aspirations, where he wants to live with his family and where he wants to settle down. And as Ryan hit the nail on the head there, he is very into that kind of stuff, a political aspect of life, but he likes to travel. He likes to experience new things. He likes a new challenge from what we've known of him over the past few seasons. He's been at Pompey for, I think, what, five years now? Yeah, it's a very long time in a footballer's career. So for him to move on to Belgium, entering his 30s almost, you can't really, from his mindset, turn that down. That's him wanting to take on a new challenge. That's not the club not offering a contract. That's him wanting to move on.
I think first and foremost with Christian Burgess, I think most fans would agree he is a modern day icon for Pompey at the moment. Like what he's done for the club, the seasons he's played for us, got us out of League Two. For me, he is a modern day Pompey icon, and fans will love him. But I think Ryan hit the nail on the head with the fact that he's not going to get a better contract at that age and a chance to move abroad at his age. And I don't necessarily think. I think obviously he had a great season for us, potentially player of the season. This might be his level now. I don't know if he's going to get any better. So I can see why people wanted him to stay, but us offering him a 3-year deal with an option for another year was never going to happen. We don't even do that for our young. Well, we rarely do that for our younger players.
Yeah.
What I would say is interesting, though, on that basis is I think Sam is right in a sense that we wouldn't have necessarily taken the risk on a player who was being lambasted by the fans. That could be your word for the week, if you like, just a year ago, referencing that Doncaster game, things like that. But it's also weird that we kind of have done that before with Brett Pittman, because we did essentially offer Brett Pittman a king's ransom to come down to Portsmouth, certainly not in the prime of his youth. So it is interesting that for Brett Pittman we did that, but I think there was a little bit more of a proven track record for Brett, whereas with Christian, he's been our most consistent player by a mile this season, but he's also had peaks and troughs where he's quite literally been a sub. And in 3 years' time, do the club think that a 31-year-old Burgess that's been in and out of the team would fit into what they want to be a championship team?
I think
Sam's got that one right in terms of it would have been a hell of a lot to give Christian his last major pay packet when we genuinely have no idea the stature of the club in 3 years, whether or not a guy who's played one season in the last two or three as a regular starter will fit into what will hopefully be a championship team. But it is still gutting, because as I said, if you look across the season, no one's been ever present like he has. The only time he wasn't ever present was probably when he was suspended. And even then, if the defence had had a bad day, you would still point to him as being the least heinous and error-prone of the four. Even when he played at right back in the sort of late August, early September period, he had a couple of games at Blackpool, QPR and the cup at right back, and he actually did all right. So, yeah, it's another massive loss for what used to be a very strong sort of central defence core for us. Because if you looked at our centre-backs from last season, you'd be thinking the options we had as a starting centre-back duo and then on the bench, it was fantastic. And that's being stripped away bit by bit now. Yes. It almost feels like we're going through a rebuild as a team. As a rebuild to what, though? As a rebuild to a team that will be launching another assault upon League One next year, or hopefully staying up in the Championship. So we've got to make these decisions quickly and gamble upon what we think we're capable of in these playoffs.
And one of the biggest challenges that Christian faced this season, Liam, was the departure of Matt Clark. Now, Clarkey obviously being the most consistent defender we had over the last few seasons, just absolutely solid every game from what I remember. And Christian had huge shoes to fill, not necessarily to be as good as Matt Clark, but to be as consistent and as solid at the back, to be that leader that we needed in that back four. And I think it's fair to say that throughout the season, as it's gone on, he has remained a very consistent figure in that defensive line and probably rightfully one of the players of the season.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think, if I'm honest with you, that the stick that he got, I can't remember which game it was. I don't know if any of you can fill me in where...
Every game.
I think Doncaster was the prime meridian.
The one where it went over his head.
Yeah, Doncaster's primary, because he'd just come on.
But that wasn't his fault.
I don't care. He'd been on for about five.
Yeah, exactly. And then
he got absolutely hounded for that.
He did. Yeah,
that was McGillivray's fault. Yeah.
Exactly. And to come back from that, and he has had his critics throughout his time here, and to come back from that and do what he's done, that's for what one reason I'm gutted he's leaving. But at the same time, I can say, you know, he'll leave as a club, not a, maybe a club legend, but he'll be well respected
off the pitch. Certainly.
Yeah, think that's exactly.
If you take a club's history in half decade periods, so every 5 years, and you look back on 15 through 20, Burgess will be one of the first names that will pop up in that time. So not club legend status, but certainly favoured personnel, if you want to put it that way. So, and you could see the excitement from him when we did actually get him to. We got Union to agree to play him for these games. He was straight on Twitter, you know, essentially going, "We go again, John." So it was never a doubt of what he wanted to do, because the guy loves playing football, and I'm sure that the chance to have one last success with Pompey would have been appealing. So let's hope he goes to Belgium with a playoff victory under his belt.
Hopefully, because he deserves it. You know, I know he's won the league with us in League Two, but he's played a pivotal part this season. So hopefully,
As much as I also like to stick by the kind of phrase, Sam, that you don't know until you've been given a chance, until That was very subtle, Ryan. I like that. I don't know if anyone else saw that.
There you go.
You know, you don't know until you give someone a chance. But in terms of, let's say Pompey are in the Championship next season, Christian Burgess in that back four, yes, he's been fantastic this season. Could he cut it in the Championship? Do you think he's a Championship type football?
Was he with Peterborough? He was with Peterborough whilst he was in the...
Yep.
I don't, from what I've seen from this season, he is more than capable, but Ryan's mentioned he's had those kind of peaks and troughs in his form. And he, well, last season anyway, he did have a mistake in him. He is only getting older, and I think this was his prime season this season. I think he's been impeccable for us at the back. The solid, if you're going to talk about consistency, it's him. I personally didn't see him stepping up a level again and kind of sticking at that level, because are we going to go in the Championship and be the most kind of, are we going to be challenging at the top like we have been kind of this season? It'll be a different challenge. You get high quality players in the Championship. So I do think it is his level, and it would be a nice way for him to go out to kind of get us promoted there and everyone remember him kind of in a positive light, as opposed to as we go up and he maybe goes up and makes a few mistakes, the crowd get on his back again. And you kind of get the whole situation from last season.
For me, that would be a similar departure to like Kyle Bennett, where in that promotion season, he was essentially one of the driving forces being promoted from League Two. And then he left Pompey under certainly no happy circumstance. Certain misses against Bradford and open goal. He kind of left under poor terms. So I think Sam's nailed it there, that kind of as a player, you want to leave on your own terms and on good terms. And there's been a couple of players within the last couple of years that haven't left on good terms. Even one of our managers didn't leave on good terms. And yeah, you want to avoid that when possible. And certainly with a guy like Burgess, with his off-field commitments, you don't want to look back on any of his time here with any, you know, negative opinions or anything like that. So yeah, I fully agree there.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7. Express FM.
There's been a few players who have been announced recently that will be leaving the club. We didn't actually manage to touch on it last week, but Luke McGee, Adam May and Matt Casey won't be handed contracts heading into next season, but they will be allowed to play in these playoff games. So they have sort of been extended for 2 weeks, but in terms of any further, these three players will be departing the club. Are you surprised by any of those decisions?
Not particularly, no. I mean, I thought the way Luke McGee was treated was quite harsh, from like the way he was kind of just axed straight from the team and didn't really play again. Adam May, I've always seen like a player in there who's got some potential, but just kind of he has never really like stepped on to kind of see any Championship potential there. I think he'd be a good lower League Two player, potentially move up to League One, but I think that is his level. I didn't see much of Matt Casey play, only in a few Johnston Paint Trophy games. But
hey,
that was called Checker Trade Trophy. Yeah, that was called Checker Trade Trophy.
Oh, it's not even called that anymore.
Back to an old era.
I've only seen him play in a few. I thought he looked quite a composed centre half actually, but again, how many players has Kenny actually let, like, from young players? He doesn't really keep many of them on, especially for the academy. You see a lot of them just
you're all right. Maybe Haji Manoga gets a look in.
Yeah.
And to be fair, the pace and power he's got for a kid his age, good Lord, he'll develop into something. But
going back to Matt Casey, I'm a little bit gutted for him, because from what I saw of him, like yourself, Sam, sorry, I forgot your name then. I agree. Adam May as well. When Adam came back from his loan spell at Sutton, he was a completely different player. And then all of a sudden, we're just out of favour again.
I mean, we nearly made the playoffs that year with a midfield pairing of half of Adam May.
Yeah.
And obviously now he's a bench player in League Two. And again, it's peaks and troughs. And I think actually that first year goes under the radar. The consensus was we missed out on the playoffs in our first year in League One. But actually, we did really well just to get anywhere near them, considering how sort of mishmash the team was at that point. You had half a Paul Cook team, half a Kenny Jackett team, and never between the two really met. Adam Mays, there was definitely something there, as you said, Sam. And he's definitely a Football League player, though. He'll have a Football League career, no doubt.
Yeah.
Matt Casey, I think with his just uncommon size, there will be a place for him within football, if that makes sense. There's a few things at his young age that he doesn't have, but due to his unusual physical traits, there will be a club out there that thinks, yeah, like even if it's like a fringe player at League Two club that says we need him to come on when we're defending long balls, I think there will be a football league career for him somewhere at some point. So yeah, it is a bit of a shame to see them go, but if the club feels that they have no future here, then
I mean they see them behind the scenes. They know more than us. We only see
exactly
what
we, yeah.
So, can I clarify for those watching or listening who haven't actually seen Matt Casey play, because he doesn't really play in league or cup games that often. When Ryan mentions unusual figure and traits and whatever, he is unusually tall.
I think Matt Casey's like 6'9", 6'8". He's genuinely taller than Peter Crouch. I think he's 6'8", 6'9". I didn't think I needed to clarify it, but yeah, Matt Casey's a bit of a tall glass of water, let's put it that way.
Great player though, so you know, feel for him, yeah. Really, but I'm sure he'll pick up.
I feel like with Matt Casey and or even Adam May, it's difficult for those to break into the team. Matt Casey, you've already got a young, talented centre back who's come up through the Pompey Academy, and Jack Watmore, who's proven himself for quite a good few years now, and he's settled himself into that team. And you've got Ben Close in central midfield, who's come from the academy as well. So for Adam May and Matt Casey, they've got to try and break past Close and Watmore, as well as the two more senior figures next to them. So
that was another impressive aspect about that League One season. The combined age of our central midfield pairing was like maybe 40.
Yeah.
No, 42. Yeah, yeah.
I want to know.
And on a personal note, Brad Lethbridge, also leaving, he scored the first Pompey goal that I covered on Pompey Live in the EFL Trophy away at Oxford, which me and Jake did, which were, lovely little poacher's instinct to the back post to make it 1-1 after Andy Cannon just essentially ran 50 yards with the ball and fired a cannon into the box.
Andy Lethbridge Cannon, just got what the end a player.
There'll be some more of him. Similar sort of atmosphere at the second leg as to that EFL Trophy game.
Right? For me, the attendance will be roughly the same.
On the subject, just reminded me of Andy Cannon has got to play.
Andy Cannon, Sam, you know, myself, Liam, Ryan, we've discussed it kind of prior to lockdown about how he's come on leaps and bounds this season. He kind of surprised a few, didn't he? He came into the team, nobody really knew what he was about. He had a long stint of injuries, actually came into the side. Probably one of the, most talented and, in my opinion, consistent figures from the last 2 months of football.
I remember the FA Cup game against Barnsley, the first half. He just ran the show. Yeah. I can't remember a game this season anywhere a player just ran the show as much as he did. And playing in that kind of number 10 position, he just has that energy. But he doesn't just go for, like, it's not just his offensive play, it's his defending from the front that kind of endears into the fans as well. He's always going to be like a fan favourite if you've got that energy, you kind of jump there, gets stuck in and doesn't like shirk a tackle at any point. So yeah, he is a fan favourite. You can see what, like, he gets the crowd up with that kind of pressing and energy. So yeah, for me, he's got to start in that number 10 position though. I think that's where he's most effective.
That game where he got subbed, and it was when they just brought the rule in about players having to go off at the nearest touchline, and he got a standing ovation.
Yeah, he went off at the north stand and went round.
It was just that game just showed, you know, what a player has, the stamina, the energy of the play. He's got his. Who's calling me on Facebook? Go away. Sorry, but yeah, he's got to play for me. He's like a player I'd like to see more of, but you know, where does he fit at the moment with the way Kenny's playing? But I can't even remember how he's playing, to be honest.
He's been quite unlucky with injuries as well.
Exactly. Because he was delayed by what, half a year when he first came here with injuries. So
I think whichever division we're in next year, I do feel he's going to be integral to our team, and this is preventing doesn't get injuries. But yeah, whichever division, I think he's more than capable of playing in the Championship.
Yeah,
and I think you get certain kinds of home players and away players. Like, a lot of fans hate when their teams stand off and soak up pressure. I feel this is even more the case with Pompey. We genuinely hate teams that back off. And then to Sam's point, if you've got a guy like Cannon who's trying to win the ball back 30 yards from the opposition's goal, never mind your own half, if he's trying to win it within shooting distance of their goal, not only does that get the crowd on their feet, that gives the defensive boost, knowing that they've got their guys further up the pitch helping them out. That puts the opposition off. And I think it's kind of part of the reason where guys like that have helped us go on this really long unbeaten streak at home, because every single aspect of we don't want to go to this ground is A, because you've got fans, you know, the fans are so close to the pitch, they're giving you abuse. You've got guys trying to tackle you 30 yards from goal. With guys like Cannon in the team, you must hate playing against him, because even when the ball's with your back four, you've got no time to breathe. It must be awful for the other teams to try and deal with. So I agree, if we do go up, there's a place for Cannon. Certainly, I think he's fit enough for the championship at the very least. Never mind his technical ability. Does anyone see the guy sweat?
I think I'm sorry. Yeah. No, I've not personally seen him sweat. But...
Again, Jake, I mean, there was no ulterior message involved in there. It was just a factual statement.
Andy kind of leads me on to something else, and that's Bryn Morris. Both players who came into the side around about the same time last January, from what I remember, both haunted with injuries. We didn't really know what any of them were about. Andy came in a lot quicker than Bryn has. Bryn Morris has come back into training over the last few weeks. He's featured in these friendlies. Do you think, lads, that Bryn Morris could actually be one of the surprise packages heading into these playoff games? Because from what I've seen and heard so far, Keddie seems to be enjoying the way he's playing in these warm-up games.
Favouring him, yeah. Is he like a new signing, essentially?
Essentially, I mean, yeah. I think he's played, what, three times? Yeah. And those games weren't...
Burton away, Southend away, and I think there may have been a home game.
He hasn't played this season, has he? He hasn't
played this season. And he's had everything. Cause at one point, he had something wrong with his hamstrings, and he had this abdominal problem that he had to go. I think it was he went to Munich to see one of the world's renowned specialists for it. So it really was an issue for him. He also went to Ireland to see a specialist about this abdominal issue. The guy's been through hell. Mm. And I read the interview the other day where it's you know, getting up and rolling over in bed is a pain for him. That's meant for fat knackers like me, not professionally fit athletes like Bryn Morris. And it must be hard because you work all your career to get to this point, and football can be fleeting. It can be one weird injury and you're out. So to work that hard to have it taken away, it must be grueling. And Bryn mentioned at times, he thought, how can this be over already? So for him to come back and to be actually in contention for a League One playoff place, cracking effort. We may not have seen much of him, but I think he's proved that he's a resilient man.
I mean, we need another nickname. So, we need Brynny Esther to come back. So, what are the other ones? Sorry, Jake. Before you go, Tom Naylor, whose name?
Morris Dancer.
I think we had Marcus Harnessy when we were going through this.
What was Andy Cannon's one? He's got one as well, hasn't he?
No idea.
Shoot the cannon.
Yes.
Come on. Yes.
Yes.
We can all sing that outside Oxford's full stand.
Feed the cannon, he will score.
Yeah.
I think Alex Bass had a mixture with Iker Casillas. I can't remember what that was.
It was basically Alex Bassias. and UC Baskalainen, I think, was. I'm stupid like that.
These playoff games, Ryan, we're going to need players like Cameron McGeehan. We're going to need John Marquis. We're going to need Ronan Curtis. We're going to need everyone on the ball, but we're going to need those three specific players to be doing what they do best, and that is the ultimate bleephousery.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about this.
We need John Marquis's top bun back.
Yeah, that's John Marquis at his final like Pokemon evolution when he's got the bun. I was thinking about this the other day. Obviously, there's the saying that football without fans is nothing, and to a large extent, that is true. But if you think about it in a more sort of scientific concept, if you take the very base concept of football, it's 11v11, one ball and two goals. And when you have absolutely no external factors, you've got no form guide, you've got no fans, you've got nothing that will affect this game. You've got no fans. You've got nothing that will affect this game whatsoever. You have got a chemically pure version of football. 11v11, two goals, one ball. It all comes down to those 11 on the or those 22 on the pitch, which those can individually get themselves going or put the other off their game. And that's going to be a key aspect, because for a minute, you've got 180 minutes now with nothing else to get yourself to Wembley. So it will come down to which player can you know, win those one-on-one matchups with their counterpart, i.e. Curtis and the fullback at Oxford. It'll be Naylor probably against Cam Brannigan in central midfield. Who can win those one-on-one matchups and get into the head of the other player before that? Because this is going to be like quick knockout tournament football with no preparation. So, yeah, those players that can get themselves going and can get into the right intense mindset will have the impact on these playoffs. And considering how Oxford play, they've primarily played their whole season with a 4-3-3. They've got a compact three in the middle. They had Cam Brannigan, and then I think they had Alex Gorin, and they had the lad on loan from Liverpool before he broke both his feet, Ben Woodburn. They had a really good compact midfield three in there. And then you had James Henry at right wing and either Nathan Holland or Tarik Fosu on the left wing. Because they've got such a compact midfield and then two wingers, it will be the same for us the other way around. So you're going to see some really wide open one-on-one matchups between wingers and fullbacks in both these playoff games. And it will come down to, can Curtis get beyond his man? Can the right side of Williams or Harness, can they get beyond their man? Or can they force the errors? Can they force potentially untested legs to make crucial mistakes? And that's what it will come down to. I don't think it will be a case of which team plays better, in a sense, based on the football we've seen. I think it'll be which teams make fewer mistakes. Because sometimes it's not about the amount of things you do right. It's not about the amount of things you do right. It's the amount of mistakes you don't make. It's the errors you can limit. And I think there'll be quite a few in these playoffs. Certainly in League Two. If you've watched the League Two playoffs so far, you think the quality has dropped. And quite rightly so, you can't blame them for that. So it'd just be a case of who can force errors.
Yeah. A tweet in from Richard Tyler, that's on Twitter, Liam. He says, it feels like we're starting a new season. It feels like we're starting a new season with the most important games of the year. And can't help but disagree with that, can you, Sam? It's been, 13, 14 weeks now since we last kicked a football. And yeah, it does feel like a completely revolutionised, completely new era of football now.
It does, yeah.
Yet we're still in last season.
This was I listened to a podcast with a Wickham. I don't know what he does, but he's a massive Wickham fan, and he was saying about this kind of restart of the whole season. It's almost like with obviously just a clean slate, and he was saying how this could actually benefit Wickham with the fact they started the season very well. You know, no injuries, nothing. Obviously, they picked up some injuries, and they've been in dreadful form in the new year. But he was saying how it could end up being beneficial for them because they managed to regroup, freshen up, and they're kind of starting afresh. So you're right. It is. This is one of what Ryan said. It's kind of that kind of purist thing where you've got like no variable to do. It's just two teams going at it. And you'd hope that the team, the squad or the team with the most strength will come out on top with the issue. I'm not sure. Is the five sub rule going to be in place?
Someone's just asked that. Is that correct?
Yeah. So
there's extra time half, four, extra time half, five.
Kelly will only use two, though.
Yeah. And I do believe if you don't make all three in the normal 90 minutes, I do believe that also carries over.
Yeah.
So if Kenny felt like five subs in the 117th minute, that would theoretically be possible.
I think also one of these new rules, lads, is that these five subs, if you do decide to make them within the 90 minutes, they've got to be in three sections. So you can't have one sub and then 10 minutes later another sub, 10 minutes later another sub, 10 minutes later. They've got to be in three sort of segments, like you would if you bring on three individual subs, but obviously you're allowed five in total.
I do think it will, each squad, I do think that should benefit Pompey going forward, because you look at the squad depth we've got. We just talked about Bryn Morris coming back. We've got plenty of depth for each position. So you'd like to think that it would benefit us if Kenny uses his subs later on in games, if we're still in games, which obviously he's been a bit shy to doing. We've all been crying out for it, but he just kind of does it too late on and he's not proactive in his substitutions. But in these playoffs, when you've got five subs to use, you'd think that you could really, really benefit, especially when you've got the strength of depth that we've got in our squad.
Absolutely. And we've been lucky that all of our players we've asked to come back for the playoffs have actually agreed to do so. With Oxford, it's not been quite the same situation. Nathan Holland, who became their starting left winger after Tarik Fosu was sold in January, he's gone back to his parent club, which I believe might have been West Ham.
Yeah.
And then they had Marcus Brown on loan from Middlesbrough in their central midfield pairing. I believe he's gone back to Middlesbrough. Ben Woodburn, after he broke his foot, with the delayed season, he was almost actually returning to fitness, but he's gone back to Liverpool now. So you've actually got holes in that team, certainly on the left wing position, where Oxford don't really have a starter now. So Sam's basically very much correct that we have far more depth than Oxford right now in certain positions. And I think, using five subs, get the fresh legs on, get the experienced guys on that are on your bench that have played more football than Oxford, and just work them into the ground.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Something I've seen that's been announced, well, gents, is the use of goal line technology. That's going to be happening during these League One playoff games. And again, I want to know your opinions, because this is something that we were speaking about last week a little bit. We touched upon it and how there was a bit of an error last week between Aston Villa and Sheffield United, which ended up costing Sheffield United some valuable points. But in regards to the whole system as a whole, it's actually pretty useful and it does prove to work. Are we happy to see it in, or are you just not?
I'm going to be boring here and say I would rather it didn't happen, because it goes back to the same argument about the FA Cup when Premier League teams are playing, they use VAR and the lower leagues aren't. Yeah. You know, you can't all of a sudden, you know, if you're going to do goal line technology in League One playoffs, do it the whole season. If not, don't bother. Why is it any different now?
But then
could this not, however, be the platform to do that? Could this not be, we've trialled it with League One clubs, maybe we could bring it into League One next season.
But try it in the FA Cup for all of the games, not in the league.
I think the most heinous example last year was the quarter-final stage, where it was at Man United, but it wasn't at Swansea versus Man City. Mm-hmm. And had it been at Swansea Man City, Swansea would have actually knocked City out the cup. Exactly. So I think they would have won 3-1 rather than lost 3-2.
I know it's not big, but it's still.
Yeah. I think it's one of those where I would like it to come in, but there's been too many rule changes on a whim this season. And I think just for the sake of integrity, I'm not even sure the subs thing's a good idea as well. I think it's good they're making sweeping changes to the game that aren't necessary, certainly the goal line tech. I would just say do it at the start of next season, because good Lord, imagine if something were to happen with goal line tech and then some fan from the regular season goes, well, we would have made the playoffs ourselves if goal line tech had been installed. Then you've got another raging debate going on. Not that anything will be done about it, but I like that it's being implemented just a bit early.
What about the drinks breaks? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not sure.
I understand why they're doing it.
I think taking into consideration the past 2 days, massively in favour of it. It's been
It put off like the Man United game a couple of days ago. They were playing really well up until the drinks break.
Yeah.
And then the drinks break came in, and then they just.
I understand why they're doing it, because they're, you know, it's something to do with it, clearing the throat and stuff, obviously, because of the coronavirus. I believe that's true. I don't know if they're making that up. Anyway, but
Is this temperature related, though? This rule change, if it drops below 20, no. So it's just okay. Because normally when they've done drinks breaks, it's because they're doing it in like 35 degrees in Doha for the Olympics. I'm not sure how the same effect when it's 4 degrees in Scunthorpe. which is just one of the most grim sentences I've ever uttered. But
it's a strange one, because I've seen games at Fratton Park where we have had drinks breaks halfway through because it has been absolutely boiling. But I think
I'm a hypocrite. I'm having a drinks break.
I think in regards to what Liam's saying about, you know, it splits up a game, and you're right, Ryan, about the Man United game, how they lost a bit of momentum with Sheffield United. But if they're implementing this rule because of coronavirus, they want to obviously keep players fit and healthy, then you need to kind of do that all through the leagues, don't you? Kind of, whether it's in Pompey or Scunthorpe, if you're having drink breaks at Fratton Park but not at Scunthorpe, then. Mm. Yeah.
I
don't know if that came out.
It comes down to referee, like, jurisdiction, but
yeah,
it's an odd little rule. And again, I think it's just been weirdly fleshed out. I think this is when you're preparing for next season, you should take an in-depth look into it and decide what you actually want to do with it.
I was trying to think of an example of what something that's happened this season where we could have used VAR. And my David has pointed out that the game when we played Peterborough, when Ivan Toney scored against us, and I'm sure something happened where it definitely should not have stood, where we handballed it or something. I don't know if you remember that, Peterborough away.
What, the final away game before?
Yeah. I'm sure Ivan, I looked at the highlights, I'm sure Ivan Toney handballed it, but like David was saying there,
yeah,
VAR was all around. He'd be lucky to score that.
I would just, I don't think anything would have changed that game.
Oh, yeah.
VAR or not. Yeah.
I wasn't there, so I can't judge it by
it was the Ivan Toney show, so.
we got bullied that day. But yeah, there's probably examples where it's gone for us and against us throughout the season.
Yeah.
It does even itself out, but I do think as long as they can purify it so it doesn't take as long to make a decision, then go for it. Just don't waste our time.
I'd rather see football without VAR and have the odd mistake work in your favour and against you as well. You look at that Watford-Leicester playoff semi-final. If VAR was in place then, we would not have seen those jubilant scenes because Leicester would not have had that penalty.
Here's debate club. Does James Bolton get sent off against Arsenal if VAR's there?
No.
But then that also comes down to the competence of the referee.
Those at Stockley Park.
Yeah.
Do the referees at Stockley... I personally think it's one of the greatest challenges I've ever seen.
Without a doubt.
And I can still hear like some of the Pompey players cheering him on afterwards. But would Stockley Park, in this sort of saturated form of football we have now, declared that a foul? Or retrospectively giving him something, considering he actually got injured. But
I think the big problem with VAR is how long it actually takes to make a decision. That is obviously that's what angers fans the most. But I think the whole concept of it, the idea of it, was to bring it in to reduce the amount of errors being made during a game, and to actually try and see a level playing field on the pitch. However, what you're seeing is you're still seeing referees look at the cameras, you're still seeing referees at Stockley Park look at the cameras and make decisions that myself, Liam, Ryan, you, Sam, probably wouldn't personally make ourselves. So it still comes down to human judgment or error as opposed to a computer making a decision itself. So I don't think it actually works in that prospect.
You smile at Stillwell.
Well,
sorry, I did cut out a bit.
Yeah, I didn't get what you said there.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I said, what are you smiling at still? While you had a little smirk on your face.
I just love the idea that football's been away for so long. Football Twitter has been deactivated essentially, and now I honestly can't wait for next week when one of these controversies pop up on Twitter, and it'll be like the 33rd minute of the second leg. Scores evenly tied at 1-1, and it'll be one of these controversies pop up, and you think, "Oh, it's good to be back."
Did you see the Southampton fans on Twitter claiming that they helped Liverpool win the league?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah, which in turn means that we helped Real Madrid win a La Liga title after we sold Lassana Diarra to them. Yeah. So, if you wouldn't mind popping the La Liga title and potentially the Copa del Rey down to Fratton Park, we'll kindly take ownership of that now. Thank you very much.
We'll take the Champions League as well if it's going.
Yeah. But I think, to be honest, again, I also want to see this football game or these two football games, maybe even a third if we break our own rules and win a playoff game. I do want to see this playoff game without the intricacies of technology because, again, this is pure football. This is guys in a park, essentially, on a Sunday morning with how little there is around it. I just want to see how such an important event takes place on such a almost barren landscape and see what 11 guys against 11 guys do with no external factors. I think it'll be a fascinating watch. And then just be a case of who's up for it more? Which manager can get his team going more?
Who
do you personally see as being stars over these two legs? Which players do you think will be from minute one through 180 right into the Thunder and making big impacts?
I think it's personally made for Ronan Curtis to step up. Especially after last season in the playoffs where he kind of just burnt out towards the end of the season, especially in that away game at Sunderland, he just wasn't the same player. And then obviously in the home leg as well. So personally, I'd like that. That's the one for me. I think it's made for him to have a big impact and kind of remind everyone what he was like, you know, at points during this season and the start of last season as well, when he was just unplayable.
I think this could be Seddon's biggest game for a while. Again, with how compact the midfield could be, especially if we decide to go Oxford with a middle three, the overlapping play of Seddon and Kurtz on that left flank, if you can get those well-timed deliveries into the box, yeah, we could cause some major problems down that flank. So it's really a tough one. There is nothing to go on. It is instinct right now because we can't see the friendlies we're playing. We can't see what Oxford are up to. It's just who's available and who's kept themselves in good shape after lockdown.
When we're pretty much, you know, full-strength squad apart from one player who hasn't really played much recently, has he? Are we out to talk about that, Jake? Is that right?
Yeah? Well, I mean, I don't know who the player is. I don't think anyone really knows who the player is.
Okay.
Luke McGee.
Well, I mean, I know there's I know there's speculation. I mean, I wouldn't personally
let's move on.
Add to that. No, I agree with what you're saying.
A sense of mystery in the football hour.
There is a sense of mystery, and I think everyone out there on social media, you know who we're talking about, you know, if that is true. You know, I don't want to add to I don't want to add to rumour mill. You know, that's his decision and that's what he wants to do. And true. I think that's fairly reasonable during a global pandemic. But in terms of what you're saying, Liam, about we've got a whole squad bar one player, it's still quite promising going into this playoff campaign.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to talk more about it. Let's move on from that. But we've got a comment here from Perry who says, I hear the club have only sold 600 cardboard cutouts. Doesn't seem a lot and I wonder why.
We're not excited. Well, you know, we never win the playoffs anyway. I reckon if we'd had a playoff history, we might get better attendance.
I got my dad one for Father's Day.
Oh, that's a cracking effort.
Cracking effort.
Yeah, look out for him.
There should be one of Michael Jackson dressed, or Cameron McGee dressed as Michael Jackson. Show up as Cameron McGee hee hee and.
Oh, he's done!
Because we've seen a few weird ones pop up. There was tweeted out the other day. There's a rather infamous figure at Elland Road. I won't say who, but there's we won't mention who's showed up at Elland Road, and probably not even their most notorious fan. Based on history. I like the idea of the flags though. The cardboard cutouts seem that they are a gimmick, but it will be quite entertaining to see them there. I did
what
like
has,
the idea of the flags.
What about
what
crowd
has
noise?
Life come to?
What's that, Sam?
What about the crowd noise? Like, what do you make?
Oh, I hate that. I said last week that if you have to have football behind closed doors, just accept the nature of the reality that we're in. You know, it does suck to have football behind closed doors. I don't want some kind of artificially manufactured product that makes it feel like the real thing. We know it's not the real thing because that's why we're here on this broadcasting client doing lockdown football hours. We should be in the studio. We should be at games. We know it's not real. I just don't want the illusion of TV companies trying to make us believe it's real. Yeah. So I'm not a fan of the crowd noise. I don't think it adds anything for me while I'm watching it. I don't get more excitement because I hear some guy from the Midlands going, "Oh, ref, you're an absolute..." You know, I mean, I like to hear it, but it's not what I turn on the TV for. I don't know about you guys, but it's certainly not adding anything for me.
No.
I mean,
it's also late as well. It's when a goal goes in, you can hear the net rustle and go, yeah.
Personally, yes. Yeah.
I was watching the Everton Liverpool game the other day, Ryan, and I think the Everton, whoever was controlling it at Goodison Park, I think Liverpool had a chance and it just went wide of a post. And they played crowd noise of basically the whole stadium going, ooh, and then clapping. And it was,
weird. Yeah.
You wouldn't see Pompey against Oxford. Oxford have a shot and the Pompey fans go, oh yeah, well done.
Next week is going to be, it's going to be weird, but I just wish that all the fans could be there personally. Yeah. But it is what it is.
How many do you reckon will show up to the Kassam and try and watch it from the car park? I genuinely am asking that because I've seen it when I've done it at done Oxford away before, because from the away stand, for those who've gone to Oxford, it's the right-hand corner of the stand on the north side. So you can see the car park and everything. And I've seen kids standing on large rocks and climbing trees in the background watching the game perfectly. I am wondering how many Pompey will show up on week Monday to see if they can watch the game.
We get on a cherry picker. Actually, no, I'm not condoning that whatsoever.
We're not endorsing it.
Get on a cherry picker, but we're also saying
you could.
Yeah.
Don't go out. Stay in.
Yeah. Stay alert.
Don't go to the game.
Anymore.
We've got someone abusing us as a Villa fan. Not sure why you're in this chat, but never mind.
Looking forward to the encounter next season.
Yeah, I mean, go and sing Bernie's song. Villa.
That's a weird beef we've created. Normally, it's just Sunderland. We're apparently at odds with Villa now.
We've got 3 minutes to kill, so why not abuse the Villa fans?
A quick question I wanted to ask a few minutes ago before we did start running out of time, but in terms of the Wickham situation, Sam, you mentioned earlier, do you think they would have actually made the playoffs if it weren't for this unweighted points per game system? Because you had Sunderland, Ipswich, Doncaster and Peterborough all chasing their tail. Wickham had dropped out of the playoffs themselves, although they did have that game in hand. Do you think they actually would have made it come the final game of the season, or do you think they've been handed such a massive lifeline?
No, with the form they've been in the new year, I don't think there was any way they were going to reach the playoffs at all. For me, the teams that should be most gutted out of this whole situation was Peterborough.
Absolutely.
After watching them completely just destroy us at their place, and then
that was ugly.
I honestly thought they were going to. They probably would have got automatic promotion, in my opinion. So for them, they're the biggest losers out of this. Sunderland, Ipswich. I don't think they would have made the playoffs, in my opinion. I don't think they were great sides from what I've seen of them. So yeah, the one for me was Peterborough. They're the biggest losers out of all of this. But if you said to me at the start of the season, we've got to play Oxford, Wickham, and Fleetwood to secure promotion to the Championship.
It's a cracking opportunity.
Yeah, you probably take it, and you we've got to take it, really.
And it's weird that the team with the most goals in the league this season isn't even in the playoffs come the end of the season. It's wild. I'd like to look back on how many seasons in past where that's been a factor. The team that scored the most isn't even at the dance at the end of the season, whether it be promotional playoffs. So yeah, you're absolutely correct. If you'd given those four teams at the start of the season, you said, right, let's get ready for May. Well, what should have been May anyway. Yeah.
I think there might be something to actually look forward to now, lads. This time next week, we would have known the score already. Half-five kick-off at Fratton Park. Pompey against Oxford United at Fratton Park. Playoff semi-final first leg. League One football. And, yeah, we're looking forward to it. So, there won't be any lockdown football hour next week. That will be rudely interrupting our usual schedule. So, 9 episodes in. Lads, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm sure we'll be continuing it in some shape or form.
Sean Connery's no horse.
Jake, your speech then, you sounded like the guy on the Titanic when he starts playing.
Women and children first.
Gentlemen, it's been emotional.
Launch the cannons.
I'm glad this is over. No.
We had to get one little Jake digging. Just one before this football returning.
I'm going to get told off in a minute. My boy's trying to sleep.
Anyway. I'm sure there'll be some more information released in the week as to when the lockdown football hour will return. Of course, not happening next Friday. There's an important game happening next Friday. Pompey vs Oxford. You can catch all of the action live and unmissable here on Express FM for that first leg fixture, and of course the rest of the playoffs too, and hopefully Wembley should we get there on Monday the 13th of July. It's going to be some very strange times. Looking forward to being able to cover the games with both Liam and Brian on the airwaves again. Sam, thank you for joining us for tonight's show. It's been great to have you on. Great to see you. Glad to see you doing well.
Cheers. Thanks for the invite, guys.
No, it's been great. And looking forward to next week, Pompey fans. Stay tuned to all of our social media accounts at ExpressFM on Twitter, ExpressFM on Facebook. There'll be more news released within the week. Stay safe and see you next Friday. Play at Pompey.